Hi, and welcome to Revision Media here tonight with me, Paul Stevenson. I'll be with you through until 9 p.m. here in the UK, 2 till 3 p.m. Central Time, 3 till 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Welcome, everyone. I'll be, as I say, with you for the next hour. I've got a lot to get through, so I'm going to just crack on with it. If you want to call in, the number is 855-492-6049. That's 855-492-6049. Be happy to have any of your comments or questions. So, as usual, one of the challenges of this type of job, for want of a better word, of being a radio host, is to select from a wide ocean of information to cover. There's an interesting story here in the Spectator online over here. Denmark is creating a roadmap for mandatory vaccination. That's a Spectator. That's not a fringe journal at all. It's largely considered mainstream media, really. It's slightly more fringe, but, you know, it's not going to be anything remotely in the realms of what could be described as conspiracy theory territory and that type of thing. Of course, most of the conspiracy theory pejorative comments are just that, to discredit people telling the truth for the most part. But the Spectator, as I say, would be considered a fairly established mainstream journal over here. The other story I wanted to talk about pertains to you guys over there in the United States. Trey Trainer, he's the nation's, he's America's top election official. He has basically come out, and I don't know whether you're aware of this over there in the States as much as here, because it seems there's almost a media blackout on anything positive regarding Trump and this whole election fraud and maybe any pushback or success he may be having. But to come across a story and to my mind, it has tremendous significance and weight behind it, and to hear so little about it, but we shouldn't be surprised. He's the Federal Election Commission chairman. So he's not some nobody. He's the FEC chairman, Trey Trainer, and he has basically come out and said that Trump's campaign, you know, apart from anything else, the campaign that claimed that Philadelphia actually defied the court order regarding the election observation. So not just did they participate in obstructing observation, which is constitutional, and the whole purpose of it is to protect against voter fraud and underhand activities. So if you're going to be covering it up and preventing people from observing, then the obvious conclusion is that you've got something to hide. And he has pointed this out. I mean, it's intuitive. It's common sense. It seems that this is obviously the case. There's lots of people have claimed this, and there's video clips of it, I think, and all sorts. And yet there's so little about it in the media over here. But he basically has deemed that because of this and other irregularities, that the election is illegitimate. And that's how I think it should be. If anybody that watches boxing, before a boxing match, the two boxers will have their hands wrapped before they have their gloves put on. And the reason that this is observed is because over the years, not so much recently, because they've got even tighter on this, because of abuses in it, boxers have put things in their hand wraps that they shouldn't, to give them an advantage, and can do excessive damage when they throw their punches. And so each boxer we'll have an observer from the other side, much like the election, how it's supposed to work out when people are counting ballots, to observe that everything is legitimate, everything is done safely, honestly, and that there's nothing untoward occurring. And if you had a situation where a boxer, now this is just sport we're talking about, not the direction of one of the most powerful nations in the world at stake, this is just boxing. And it's extremely stringent to the point that if one of the boxers refused to allow the opposition to observe the hand wrapping, the fight would be called off immediately. Or if somehow they managed to obstruct the observation of the hand wrapping and the fight went ahead, and then it was later discovered that they were obstructing the observation, that guy would be disqualified. If it win, lose, or draw, he would be disqualified from that particular fight, and he'd probably never fight again, and his whole team would be disqualified from boxing. Certainly, they'd have a lengthy ban. If he happened to win the fight, he would be disqualified. If he lost the fight, draw, he's disqualified, and the fight would be deemed illegitimate because the rules have been broken. And that's just sport. And another story I want to get to later, I'll try and cover it in the last half hour. I think this whole, the Denmark situation, and we're heading that direction over here. The language is worrying when it comes to these vaccines being mandatory, because you know nothing's denied, and it's this type of language which is very nebulous and worrying. I mean, even when these creepy politicians deny something, it doesn't mean anything, obviously. But again, Denmark creating a roadmap for mandatory vaccination. There's been pushback in Denmark against that by protesters and things like that. And then in another article in Lou Rockwell, I'll cover, I thought it was an excellent article. It really hit the nail on the head. It says, is this virus the weapon being used to usher in a communistic takeover of the United States? And I would say it goes beyond the United States, right across the Western world, right across the whole world, really. This encapsulates very much just what we've been talking about over since this coronavirus thing was launched, weaponized against us as a propaganda weapon. So I'll cover that. But just I was fortunate enough in a drought of information about Trump. And again, you know, a guy like the FEC chairman, Election Commission chairman, Trey Trainer, essentially saying that he would deem the election illegitimate based on the fact that there was an obstruction of the observation, the legal process of observing vote counts, and that the in Pennsylvania that they actually ignored the court order that they should obey by the rules there when the Trump campaign administration got a court order against them. But I did find a good little clip on Sky News Australia, which I'll play, because it's been very difficult to find this information, and he shares the same sentiments that I share. It's how has this, and it is a rhetorical question now, because we know there's so much censorship going on, so much suppression, so much big tech control of the media and information and the information flows, that something like this is not getting out, really. And again, I don't know if it's been talked about in America much, but this gentleman on Sky News Australia, he shares my frustrations and almost disbelief that something like this should get such little airtime. Even knowing what we're dealing with in terms of censorship and information suppression, it's just staggering.
As you know, many in politics and the media, sensing defeat for Trump, have run away at 100 miles an hour. You keep writing, and I feel I must do my best to tell you where I think things are. So firstly, by way of a question, why has there been virtually no publicity for the brief interview I'm about to play? The chairman of the Federal Electoral Commission in America is a fellow called Trey Traynor. The Federal Electoral Commission is the government body that enforces campaign finance laws. But as you would know, being involved in investigations of fraud in campaign finance law allows you to get a reading on voter fraud in general. Here is Trey Traynor on Newsmax, which is really the new Fox News, being interviewed. I repeat, Trey Traynor is the official head honcho of the American Federal Electoral Commission.
Trey, thanks so much for joining me here. I'll start with this. What is your reaction to what's happening in Pennsylvania? Do you believe or do you know, are observers able to watch the ballots being counted, as Pam Bondi pushed back on?
Well, based upon what I know, observers have not been allowed into the polling locations in a meaningful way as required by the court order that the Trump campaign received. When they have been allowed in, the kind of goalpost has been moved. They're supposed to be allowed within 6 feet of the ballots, and they have not been allowed that meaningful access. You know, and our whole political system is based upon transparency to avoid the appearance of corruption. And that's what we do at the FEC every day. And now we're seeing this play out in Pennsylvania and other states where there's not transparency in this election.
Trey, as we move forward in a modern times, everyone has a cell phone. There's video just about everywhere. You can see just about everything. And the video we just showed earlier appears to show someone filling out the ballot at the table. There's so many videos out there. And again, we have to confirm all this stuff. But do you believe there is voter fraud out there, specifically in Pennsylvania and other states, that are weighing heavily in on this election?
I do believe that there's voter fraud taking place in these places. Otherwise, they would allow the observers to go in. When you have claims of, you know, 10,000 people who don't live in the state of Nevada having voted in Nevada, you have the video showing where people are, you know, they're either duplicating a spoiled ballot right there, or they're in the process of just marking a ballot that came in blank for a voter. That's a process that needs to be observed by election observers. State law allows those observers to be in there. And if they're not, then the law is not being followed, making this an illegitimate election.
Well, anyway, there is this fellow admitting that the Trump campaign won a court order in Pennsylvania to allow the Trump campaign to send observers to watch ballot counting in Pennsylvania. But his words, quote, ballot watchers have not been allowed into the polling locations in a meaningful way. In other words, the workers in Philadelphia just ignored the court order and continue to block the observers' right to observe. Chairman Traynor points out that, quote, when observers have been permitted to watch, the goalpost has been moved away from what is required by the court order, unquote. And as he said, you heard him there, if you're looking for transparency, his words, quote, they have not been allowed meaningful access, unquote. There has not been transparency, he said, in the election. And he concludes that, his words, if the law is not being followed, then it is an illegitimate election, unquote. That was the chairman of the American Federal Election Commission, Trey Traynor. Now, I don't pretend to know why Donald Trump has been silent, but people like Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell, whom you heard on Monday night, are not stupid. Sidney Powell is one of the leading appellate lawyers in America. Let me just have a stab at what they might be doing. What has not received any publicity is that on September 12, 2018, President Trump signed into existence an executive order. You can check it out for yourself at whitehouse.gov. It's entitled, and I quote, Executive Order on Imposing Certain Sanctions in the Event of Foreign Interference in a United States Election, unquote. In that executive order, which no one seems to have covered since the day it was signed, President Trump declares a national emergency that is still in play. This election was conducted under a state of emergency, and it asserts that people and organizations located outside the United States are known to be able to, quote, interfere in or undermine public confidence in United States elections, including through the unauthorized accessing of election and campaign infrastructure, unquote. Now, I envisage it could be asserted that outfits like CNN and the New York Times could be caught up under this emergency declaration of foreign interference in US elections, aided by complicit cooperation on US soil. Why is this relevant? Well, again, listen to what Sidney Powell said on Monday.
this is a massive election fraud, and I'm very concerned it involved not only Dominion and its Smartmatic software, but that the software essentially was used by other election machines also. It's the software that was the problem. Even their own manual explains how votes can be wiped away. They can put, it's like drag and drop Trump votes to a separate folder and then delete that folder.
Now, note that she mentioned Dominion. This is the point. It's a Canadian company, foreign-owned, which under the presidential order makes Dominion election theft a foreign interference issue. That's the software that Sidney Powell's talking about. Earlier in that interview, Sidney Powell indicated that many states had been advised against using Dominion voting systems. Another voting company is Sitel. It's operated in Spain. I might add, it filed for bankruptcy in May and was declared bankrupt in June. You've heard Sidney Powell talk about so much voter fraud, it was like coming out of a fire hose. Experts are asking why the sensitive job of counting votes was outsourced to a foreign company. And how could a bankrupt Spanish company count American votes in Spain? There has to be a reason why the chairman of the Federal Electoral Commission, Trey Traynor, has said that even if observers were not permitted to watch what we'd call scrutineers, the election is, his word, illegitimate. Now, he's speaking specifically about Pennsylvania, which leads to the further question, why weren't they allowed to observe? But the Trump executive order gives the American Department of Justice power to seize all assets of entities that have, quote, directly or indirectly engaged in, sponsored, concealed, or otherwise been complicit in foreign interference in a United States election, unquote. Now, remember, Sidney Powell is saying that this was software designed to rig elections, her words, on purpose, her words, calculated, her word. And she was asked, could she prove this? To which she replied,
well, let me put it this way. First of all, I never say anything I can't prove.
Wonderful. I never say anything I can't prove. That's one of America's leading appellate lawyers. The Trump executive order about rigging elections, which he signed into existence on September 12, 2018, means clearly that the net can be cast very wide. And that if what Donald Trump has called big tech and the fake news media were up to something, then I have no doubt this is what the Trump team are about. Software systems located in Canada and Spain, Sidney Powell says, quote, designed to rig elections on purpose and calculated. Further suggestions are being made that data was offshored to servers located in Germany and possibly Serbia, foreign countries. That doesn't even include China or Venezuela. The allegations which have to be proven are that these foreign entities had roles in running influence operations to produce an election outcome in favour of Mr. Biden. I suspect the Trump team is in the process of gathering irrefutable evidence of criminal collusion. Under the executive order of 2018, the government, still headed by Trump, has the power to arrest and seize the assets of any organisation or individual who attempted to alter the result of the 2020 election. Now, I've been saying for some time, it'd be a brave person who is prepared to bet even now against Donald Trump.
So there you have that. Is that what Trump's up to? I guess time will tell, but again, there's been virtually no coverage of that. And that executive order, I must say, had skipped my attention. I think it probably has skipped most of our attentions. But there could be a strong case there. So we'll wait and see. As I say, there's such a psychological campaign to demoralize people because, you know, there's so little information getting out about just what that story covers. Anyway, I'm going to move on because you can make of that obviously what you will and what the implications of that are. In an article in Lou Rockwell, I dare hope that all the peoples who have lived through communism will understand that communism is to blame for the bitter pages of their history. To quote there from Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the Nobel Prize winner for literature and victim of the Bolsheviks in Russia, spent a lot of his time in gulags. The article goes on, there has been much talk over the years, and many have claimed that communism is dead. Communism never died. and in fact has continued to expand, especially in the West. No war and no fight were necessary. Just a failing economy and a country weakened and destroyed from within. Now, this is what I've been saying. The collapsing of people of Main Street, as you would call it in America, and over here just the high street shops, all these businesses, this is communist revolutionary stuff under the guise of public health. But make no mistake about it, this is a communist revolution. The Black Lives Matter are a communist movement masquerading about caring about black people, and the climate change movement is a communist revolution at its core, masquerading as caring about the climate. But this is unprecedented what's happening here across the Western nations and beyond under this deception of public health, and it's very scary. And the public sector is increasing, the tax base is dwindling, the private sector is dwindling. This is a massive expansion of government and government power, and it's a shame that so few seem to see it for what it is. So no war and no fight were necessary, just a failing economy and a country weakened and destroyed from within. That is exactly what has happened today, and now we face the horrors of communism and the end of Western civilization. The horrors of communism is right. And certain Christians I speak to and others, they wonder why I get so, I don't even, concerned, doesn't come close. Some levels terrified of what's happening, because I understand it. I understand what communism is. It's an outright satanic tyranny of the worst type that you can think of. And its record lays that fact bare, naked, every time. You're not just talking about poverty and suffering. You're talking about torture and mass murder. That's what communism produces. And the lives that people do live are barely worth living. They're so devoid of any liberty. And this pernicious communist march through the institutions, it's been happening, as I say, incrementally for decades now. And then suddenly, and now it's climaxed at this coronavirus lie, the biggest lies of the 21st century, probably the biggest. It is imperative to remember that all roads towards socialism lead directly to communism, as Lenin so described. It's always presented as benevolent. Socialism is always presented as benevolent. And people who don't understand socialism don't understand where it leads. And Lenin described it rightly. It leads to communism and tyranny. In the United States, the march towards socialism has been steadily advancing for many years, especially in all the so-called, quote, halls of learning. Yeah, academia, dominated by international Jewish ideologies and indoctrination, and also in the government that supports this transition. The goal of the state will always be towards socialism, because that is the system that allows for the few to control the many. It's always the way, I've said it 1,000 times. Socialism and communism are not only how the few gain control over the many, but how they take control over the many. And it is you can see these people, the Nancy Pelosi's of the world. These people are, I don't know if there's any word dark enough for them. These people are obsessively and pathologically sinister and hungry, like ravenous wolves, for power and control, and for this communist revolution to be established fully and finally. They're tired waiting, I think. And that's what the coronavirus is about. It's an acceleration of all that stuff. That all the Great Reset is a global socialist communist revolution. They don't need to build walls. They can just tell you you can't fly for public health safety reasons. They get more and more people dependent on the government by destroying the private sector and businesses and people's livelihoods, and then they will, in quotes, create jobs. They don't create anything. All they do is destroy. But they will maintain, Boris Johnson, so-called conservatives like that will maintain that they will create jobs. Yeah, government jobs. So you'll have a vast increasing demographic dependent on welfare, and others who want a job will have the choice of working for government, all of which dependent on government. And then you can bring in a mandatory vaccine that will allow you to continue to get your benefits, continue to keep your job, continue to do anything that a human being might want to do. And this is tremendous pressure, even for the most resilient. And already, you know, as I say, the church has crumbled already. What would they be like in the face of this? And this is why it's so frustrating that they don't understand that you need to push back when you have some strength before they have gained more strength. And I think it's just ignorance and cowardice in so many levels, and I can't think of any other explanation for it. And not just the church, I mean, huge swathes of our own population who want to continue these lockdowns. And because if you're working in the public sector, you can just chill out and you can still get paid. And again, where's the money coming from? The government's broke. They're destroying the tax base. That's that tax base. It's that private sector. Those people who create the entrepreneurs, people who are not sucking on the teat of government, who are paying your jobs. Their taxes are dwindling. And the public sector's jobs are exploding. This is untenable. It'll lead to a massive inflation, devaluing of the currency, huge reduction in public services. That's how you become a second and stroke a third world country. The article goes on. Takeover of the economy and the elimination of private property will signal the end of freedom and the advancement of communism. In this day and age, with such colossal technological quote-unquote progress, the controlling system coming will certainly be technocratic in nature, but the underlying structure will still be one where the masses or proletariat will be controlled by the few in what will be a pure communistic society. The fraudulent pandemic is simply the tool being used to advance these reset agendas, and this has been accomplished due to weakness and fear by the people at large. Echoing what I've just said. It does not have to be this way. But when the masses voluntarily accept their own servitude, blame cannot be placed just on the evildoers in control, but should be placed at the feet of the people themselves. And again, this is why I get angry with people over this. It's because I think a lot of the time it's just ignorance and cowardice. And it's just, the article is so correct when it says that. If people are so willing to indulge and accept their own servitude, then you can't just point the finger and blame conspirators and governments. Because the people didn't have the spine to push back or the discernment to push back when they still could. And then everyone suffers very badly. Your children, my children, their grandchildren, you name it. Bolshevism didn't last in Russia for 5 years or 10 years. it lasted the best part of that century, a century of absolute suffering and misery, because people didn't have the discernment or the testicular fortitude to push back on it at a time when they still could. And it's a tiny group of people who are going to bring this misery. The article goes on, evil lies in every man, and in order to defeat it, one must first understand his own evil and fight to suppress it. This takes much courage, and truth has to not only be sought, but also accepted. And I think this is a problem with a lot of people. It's convenient to believe things which aren't the truth. In the scriptures, it says in Thessalonians, I forget which chapter, but it says, because they had not a love of the truth, I will send them strong delusion. It's an offense to God when people don't love the truth and seek the truth. And because of that, I will send them a lie so they can believe a lie and be condemned. And there's a lot of people out there who indulge in willful ignorance and self-deception because they haven't got the courage. Or they can't be bothered. It's an inconvenience. Apathy leads to tyranny. Always does. So he points out that truth must not only be sought, but accepted. If this does not happen throughout society, freedom and the joy of life will not endure. If this sounds dark and ominous, that is because it is just that. We are at the crossroads of hell, and very few have any understanding of this fact. Communism has been blamed for the most deaths of the innocent in human history, and this is for good reason. But Americans have little of any understanding of the scope of this phenomenon, and certainly do not understand that their own country's ruling class has been a major part of this most heinous and abhorrent cancer on mankind. It has not just been Marx, Lenin, Stalin, Mao, and Pol Pot that have perpetrated atrocities and unholy massacres. It has not only been Russia, China, North Korea, and others that are responsible for all the carnage over the past century and a half. Western powers, especially the United States, have been involved in and supportive of many communist countries and leaders. Russia and China were heavily supported by the U.S. They're always funded, for the most part, by international Jewish financiers, warmongers, Jacob Schiff, Rothschild bankers, and bought and paid governments, politicians, who do their bidding. So Russia and China were heavily supported by the U.S. and its banking and corporate systems during these dark periods, as were Stalin and Mao and many other dictators and murderers. What stands out about communistic and dictatorial regimes is that those seeking power and control all understand that socialistic and communistic policies will gain them what they seek, which is total power and control over all society. Yeah, the subjugation of all people. So whether they participate directly or by stealth when supporting communism matters not, as all those that desire control will eventually attempt to gain submission through socialistic means. This could happen through support and funding of monsters, aggressive wars, active assistance for regime change policies, and other practices meant to advance totalitarian rule, all done in the past by the United States government and its controlling, in quotes, elites. I have recently been corresponding with Dr. Igor Shepard, a gentleman that has seen both sides of the monster called communism. He is Russian, but living and working in the United States, and fully understands that this long-planned global takeover, being called the, quote, Great Reset, is most definitely a communistic plot. I agree with this assessment, as this country and other governments around the world as well are aggressively seeking the major tenets of communism, and the Western powers are leading the way. Dr. Shepard gave a powerful talk recently about these matters and more. It is invaluable information. Most everything being told to the American citizens are nothing more than lies, deceit, and propaganda, and we're getting the same here right across Europe. There is no pandemic, but there is a plot to take over the entire country, destroying any and all normal aspects of life. the destruction of the human spirit and psyche is happening before our eyes. And many of the things planned by the controlling class will cause the annihilation of this economic system and the loss of freedom. The agenda to gain control over the people is moving forward at lightning speed. And this looks to be the final push towards achieving a communistic style society with the controlling interest dominating the very minds of his subjects. In my opinion, the most important part of this nefarious conspiracy will rely on mass vaccination. The coming COVID vaccine has most likely been available and has been stockpiled for a long time. It is not meant to prevent or cure any so-called virus or disease, but will be used to take over the minds and bodies of men. All the technology to do this is in place, and the incentive for the worst among us to enslave the population is evident. This is not being done in secret, as the plans of the chosen masters have been openly discussed and announced for any that choose to listen. You can go to the World Economic Forum. You can see all their, you can see a lot of this in their own writings. Injecting everyone with this new vaccine is in the works and has been for a long period of time and is most definitely a fascist partnership between the US government, the World Health Organization, Bill Gates and his criminal foundation, and the pharmaceutical industry. This is the big push toward changing the entire world from one of freedom and hope to one of total despair. I disagree with that because I don't think the world generally is a world of one of freedom and hope to one of total despair. I think that has largely been an exclusive privilege to the West for many centuries now. Well, certainly a lot more so than a lot of countries, because a lot of countries have experienced this tyranny and are experiencing this tyranny in the world today. Mass obedience is necessary. And readiness to defend from tyranny at any cost is crucial. And this is what we've been shouting from the rooftops. Readiness to defend from tyranny at any cost. It goes on, gather together, seek out like-minded thinkers, disobey every order. I've been disobeying every order, and I'm not blowing my own trumpet here. I go to Tesco, I go to the shops, I don't wear a mask. It's not particularly uncomfortable because you're in a minority, but it's a sign of resistance. I don't participate in the church, which is going to indulge in this nonsense, this spineless nonsense, or this supinity that they haven't got the discernment to understand what's at play here. But yes, we should, because the more they see us obeying, the more they will exercise tyranny. To disobey every order, dissent on every level, and stop this onslaught of deadly and murderous communism. A mass uprising is needed now. There's a final quote here from Ayn Rand in 1988. There is no difference between communism and socialism, except in the means of achieving the same ultimate end. Communism proposes to enslave men by force, socialism by vote. It is merely the difference between murder and suicide. Okay, so that's an article, an excellent article there by Gary D. Barnett. That was November 18th, that's today. And it is in Lou Rockwell. Is this virus the weapon being used to usher in a communistic takeover of the United States? So I'd advise anybody to go through that, share it on social media. All right. The other article I wanted to cover was in the Spectator that I mentioned earlier. The writer here is Kate Andrews. Denmark is creating a roadmap for mandatory vaccination. You see, a lot of people who are just thinkers, people who love truth, can see when they look at the data, that this whole thing is a farce. So then they're asking the important question, well, why? Why is the government lying like this? What is going on? They're seeing people's lives, livelihoods, businesses, morale, spirits being crushed by these lockdowns and mask wearing, and they can't see any remote evidence for it. There's no more people dying this year than last year. They can see the manipulation of the figures, and a lot of people have been forced to challenge their own worldview. that governments, at least on some level, generally have our best interests at heart and start questioning this constant this notion that they afford politicians year after year and decade after decade of incompetence. Nobody could be that stupid. It's clearly conspiracy for the most part. Some of them are really stupid, but if they are that stupid, they're just in there to obey orders, and the majority of them are career politicians. But this whole thing has alerted people that there's something else going on here. It's caused them to look at their own worldview, that there may be a conspiracy here. They have to start entertaining the idea of the Great Reset, and that the governments are lying, and that something much more nefarious is at work here. And that's a good thing. It's about time as well, because I'm sick and tired of these naive radio hosts who keep, you know, distancing themselves from conspiracy theorists. Well, just grow up. Educate yourself in history and see that, was Alexander Solzhenitsyn was he a conspiracy theorist? As the article said previously, this is what people need to really understand. Communism is what governments are about, if you allow them to encroach like that and to gain that kind of ground. That's where they will all inevitably end up. We are not immune to that here in the West just because we've had it good for a while. In my opinion, the disdain and rejection of Christianity in the West has been an absolute disaster on every level. And I think the country needs to get back to having some spirituality. When we have a media and a society that is blurring the lines between gender, that is a society that is not long for this world. That is a fractured, weak, damaged, sick society. And a lot of those things, and Henry Ford said it, that the Jews just wanted to secularize the public schools and then the nations and fill the void where Christianity was with Jewish revolutionary ideas. And that's what they've done. And then it leads to this. And it was all for the purpose of a total communist revolution and taking over. I don't think anybody outlined it as well as, you know, we didn't need the Great Reset or a scamdemic to get us up to speed. We could have read Henry Ford and other writings a century ago and beyond. Could British residents be forced to have a COVID-19 vaccine, the article says. Yesterday, Health Secretary Matt Hancock, a little weasel career politician scumbag, if ever there was one. It's just one after the other. I mean, they're just absolute reprobate human garbage. Yesterday, Secretary Matt Hancock, that's, you know, who I just described, refused to rule out mandatory inoculation. You see, they're not even refusing to rule it out now. Most of the time, there's a joke that, you know, when a politician denies something three times, you know it's going to happen. It's pretty bad when they're not even ruling it out. And people just start to accept this. This is the problem. It's the ignorance, because a lot of people will push back on it, but there'll be a lot of people who are saying, well, it is a really bad pandemic, and you know, we need to keep people safe. And you get pressure from your own population. And that needs to change too. And that's a hard one, because so many people just do believe the propaganda. And I think it's easier for them. Some people just cannot bring themselves to challenge their own naive worldview and entertain something much more sinister is going on. That the world that you live in is not quite as benevolent as you might have thought or have been led to believe. So this little piece of shit, Matt Hancock, refused to rule out mandatory inoculation, telling talk radio that the government will have to watch what happens and make judgments accordingly. Yeah, I mean, listen to the power trip of this guy. This guy's, oh, we'll have to sit down and, you know, we're not ruling it out. Like it's all, it's just everything's up to him. His comments have sparked questions about how realistic the prospect of mandatory vaccination is in the UK, or what restrictions people could face, with MP Tom Nugent-Dyett suggesting that the unvaccinated could be banned from workplaces if they refuse to get inoculated. If we said this 6 months ago or even 2 weeks ago, they called us conspiracy theorists, because this is what we have been talking about for since this whole deception began. We should never have went into lockdown in the first place. We should never have agreed to wearing any masks. The church should never have shut a single door in the country. Not for one day. They allowed themselves to give up more ground, to get conditioned into all these changes, until we get to this point where this is openly being discussed. Again, if we had said this, and people like us who are on radio shows like this have been talking about this for weeks and months now, we would have been called conspiracy theorists, and here they are saying it. So we suggest that the unvaccinated could be banned from workplaces if they refuse to get inoculated, and if those workplaces are increasingly in government offices, then you don't get a job, and you don't have an income, and because they've destroyed and annihilated so many people's businesses and livelihoods. So many more people are going to be left with government dependency one way or another. And then they can just hang over the threat of, you don't get to have a roof over your head or eat, let alone travel or do anything else that that would be dignified for a human being to do. If a policy of mandatory vaccination were to be carried out in the UK, what might it look like? That discussion is happening now in Denmark, as the country looks to replace its emergency laws in this spring with a new, quote, epidemic law, unquote. The proposed legislation, which would become a permanent rather than a temporary measure, could mandate certain people to receive a vaccine and would allow the police to use force if necessary to administer it. What more need do we need of evidence, what we're dealing with here? They've got the powers now. They're not worried. They can be more open now. They don't have to hide so much. It's coming out of their own mouths. Is this Mao or Stalin? No, it's some politician in Denmark today. According to the local Denmark, the most controversial elements of the law include forcing people who test positive for, quote, dangerous diseases to be, quote, medically examined, hospitalized, treated, and placed in isolation. Yeah, that sounds like very much like a gulag to me. That sounds like 1984 to me. To be, quote, medically examined. That just sounds creepy to me. Hospitalized. This is all against your will. Treated and placed in isolation. This is in Denmark today in 2020. Granting the Danish Health Authority the power to, quote, define groups of people who must be vaccinated in order to contain and eliminate a dangerous disease. And coercing people who refuse to have a vaccine in certain circumstances, quote, through physical detainment with police allowed to assist, unquote. These clauses pose serious questions about the trade-off between individual liberty, health, privacy, and the role of the state. But they are also open to wide interpretation by officials, especially when it comes to defining, well, quite, what is a dangerous disease and which groups will be forced to take a vaccine. An open consultation for the, quote, epidemic law, unquote, closed several days ago. It has faced major pushback in its current form, and it really needs to. Business groups are arguing that the legislation goes too far and that there have been public protests about the threat it poses to individual rights. If they really start pulling this crap in Europe, it gets to nothing left to lose territory. In public disorder will be the only solution left to really rise up, because it's obvious where this is headed. The audacity of these demonic little filthy little scumbags. The law may be updated to remove some of its more controversial clauses, but the debate being carried out in Denmark is a reminder for other countries that the vaccine may be ruled out before we find the answers to these ethical and moral quandaries. So that's an article in the Spectator. Again, share that on your social media platforms. And as I said earlier, the Spectator is not some little, you know, fringe magazine on the far right or something. It's largely mainstream media, and Andrew Neil talks about it online. He's an ex-BBC reporter, one of the better ones. So, you know, I don't think he's there anymore. He's not there anymore, but he writes for The Spectator, and they have a podcast now as well. So this is getting out there. And again, we don't, you know, this type of thing, if we said it even two or three weeks ago, we'd have still been called, well, I won't get that. But I've had people say that to me, oh, I won't get that far. That's what they always say. I won't get that far. We can get. We don't have to worry that much, you know. Gradually, and then boom, then they reveal what they're really up to when it's too late, and you've been, I don't know, what you've been doing. I just find it very frustrating that, you know, people allow this to happen in this day and age, because we've got the internet as a resource. There's just no excuse for it. There's so much information out there. What do people do? What's important? You know, right. I'm going to leave it there, folks. I've managed to cover the three stories: the Trump situation and that executive order, and the FEC Commission Chairman Trey Trainer calling, in his mind, the election illegitimate. The result. Illegitimate. I've covered that article in Lee Rockwell about communism arriving in the West. And again, it's on the same theme in the Spectator there about these, you know, politicians just coming out now, they don't even try and hide it, talking about vaccines being mandatory. And I mean, it's just this creepy reading that article in the Spectator, really. Just this pure gulag stuff. Just 1984 stuff. I mean, 1984 was supposed to be a novel. It's not supposed to be a manual for governments, but that's what it is. And like immigration, when Enoch Powell talked about it, when it actually happens, it's even worse than what was originally predicted. You know, Powell didn't predict the demographic shifts in this country, and he didn't predict them to happen anywhere near as quickly as they did. And he was just deemed like the worst, Satan himself at the time, and destroyed a great man. And 1984, when you get into it, it's not over the top, is it, for what we're dealing with? And if they have their way, it'll be a lot worse than even 1984 spoke about. I'll be back on next Thursday again, same time, 2 p.m. Central Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. through till 9 in the UK. I'll also, as ever, be joining Richard Carey on Beyond the Official Narrative on Monday as a co-host there. And that is from 6 till 7 UK time, midday till 1 p.m. Central time. And, yeah, just check out my YouTube channel. It's Paul Stevenson. I haven't been doing a lot on it recently because the censorship is so heavy. But I'm on it. It's Paul Edward Stevenson. And also, you know, keep an ear out on RBN for the Beyond Official Narrative broadcast. It's a fantastic network. It's a fantastic show there that Richard's doing, and the guests are brilliant. And we're really exposing the truth as best we can there. And I'm often on there, not just on Monday, but on other evenings as well, with Willem on Thursday, and sometimes on Friday nights filling in for John Stadtmiller with Richard. So, yeah, that's Beyond the Official Narrative on Monday, and on other nights at the same time, midday, Central Time. Until then, folks, have a great day, great evening, depending on where you are around the world. And I would advise anyone to, you know, to pray and to lobby politicians for their seats, and get yourself strong. Try and inform as many people of what we're dealing with before we're absolutely in a position where the nightmare is complete. Until then, folks, take care.